to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, June the 17th, 2018.
My name is Mike Swanson. I am the GO pastor here at Grace. It's my privilege to welcome you to our services this morning. We're encouraged and excited that you're all here, looking forward to all that God's going to do in the services today. We'd also like to wish all the dads out there Happy Father's Day. At the end of the service, or when the service is over, out in the lobby, we've got some small gifts of appreciation for all men that age 18 and up. So don't forget to stop by the table in the lobby before you leave. And I also want you to know that tonight there will not be an evening service. So spend the time with your families, have a good afternoon and good evening, and we'll look forward to the rest of the things going on this week, Wednesday night and next Sunday. If you're visiting with us, I want to especially welcome you. In your bulletin, along with many, many other inserts this week, there is an info card. And if you're visiting with us, we'd love to have a record of your visit. I'd like to get some more information about Grace Baptist Church in your hands. So if you could fill that out, you can put it in the offering plate as it goes around. You can give it to one of the ushers, or we have some drop boxes out in the lobby, and you can place it in there. Also on this form, there are opportunities for various things that we have going on, plug-in opportunities. We need volunteers for numerous different things that are going on, a couple of which you'll hear about here in a moment. But they are listed on the back of that. And there's also a place where you can fill in some prayer requests. We'd love to pray with you about things that are going on in your life. As the staff meets every Monday morning, we put a good deal of that our time into praying for you and for the various specific needs. So if you would like for us to do that specifically, let us know by filling that information out and then getting it into us through those other means that I mentioned.
We are gathering together a women's ministry team to go to DR this November. We'll be working with Gary and Allie Hale. They're in their church ministry and the other ministries there that they're involved in, their school, the girls' home, the women's ministry. And there is an info sheet out at the info center that gives you a lot of information about this trip. The big push right now is that we need your deposit by July 15 if you want a place on that ministry team. So you can give that to me. I am Camilla Borma, the Women's Ministry Director here at Grace, or put it in the drop box, the offering plate, or give it to the church office, whatever works out best for you. Also, out there on the info center this morning is a note for each of the 68 ladies that participated in our Armor of God study, the Sunday school elective that we just finished a few weeks ago. That note is encouraging, it's challenging, and be sure to pick it up on your way out today. So now, Pastor Mike, that is this week's Grace on the Go.
Thank you. Sometimes Camilla just has to have the last word. Thank you very much. Looking forward to that trip, ladies. It'll be an amazing trip. The things that are going on in the Dominican Republic, rescue-type ministries and other things are just amazing. And you'll, if you can at all possibly do it, I encourage you to try to be part of that trip. As we get ready to start our service this morning, pray with me as we open things up. Father, we thank you for your goodness in our lives. We thank you for your church. We thank you for the opportunities to be here this morning, to open your word, to praise you, to worship you, to be encouraged and challenged from your word. And I pray that our response to all of this will be that of gratitude and obedience. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Mike and Camilla, for the Grace on the Go this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and let's sing together, worship together in song. Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him.
Sing with us this morning.
Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. Praise him, angels in the high.
want to honor and glorify you with what we say and do this morning. And as we lift these praises up to you, we want that to be a sweet sound in your ear. So as we sing this morning, I pray that you would encourage our hearts and just pray your peace through this as we sing now. For it's in your Son's name we pray, amen. Sing this one.
There's no riches or earthly treasure that will satisfy. Every longing for you, Jesus, set this heart on God. Set this heart on God, and I'll let go of all I have just to have all of you. And no matter what the cost, I have found in you, Jesus, what you mean to God. I have found in you. When I finally reach the end, I'll say, you are worth it all.
You are worth it all.
You are worth it all. When I'm there in your glorious presence, every knee is bowed before you. Hear the sound of heaven singing, you are worth it all. All the saints cry, holy, holy. May the saints
just prayer this morning, that the Lord is worth it all to you. Just submitting that day to day, moment to moment to Him. I'm going to ask the ushers if they would to come. A song that was made popular by Phillips, Craig, and Dean a number of years ago. I just thought was appropriate for today. The first phrases of it is, "My faithful Father, enduring friend." And I hope that we're looking to Christ as our model. We're thankful for our Heavenly Father this morning. And just after prayer, the choir is going to sing, "Your Grace Still Amazes Me." Father, it does. It amazes us how you guide us, how you lead us. And I pray that our hearts would just be surrendered to you today, that we can say you are definitely worth it all, above all, in our lives. So we're thankful for you and your work. We pray for this morning's offering, that it would just be a blessing to give. We rejoice as we're able to give back to you what is already yours. For we give it to you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Does grace still amaze you? Absolutely, absolutely. My faithful Father, enduring friend. Actually, Kelly was supposed to recognize the fathers this morning. He is not feeling well, so kind of sent him home. So thankful for Kelly and his ministry here as a family pastor. Just a few words. In Sunday school this morning, in our class, we talked about husbands and fathers, but obviously we're commanded to love our wives, and there were some other things that were kind of brought out, just training up our children to love their mothers, training up our children to love their wives, and training up our children to be good parents along the way as the Lord allows them to have kids. But we also said that it was important to listen to God's teaching, right? If we're not in the Word, it's going to be hard for us to be strong leaders. It's going to be hard for us to lead our families well. And then something else that I remembered was that we're passionate, or should be passionate, in our pursuit of God. We're Christ followers, right? And because of that, we should be passionate in our daily walk and in seeking after and pursuing Christ. I'm thankful, and I know many of you are thankful, for some great godly examples that we have here with so many dads and granddads here at Grace Baptist Church. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, and how you've reached out to my kids as they've been growing up. So I would ask that our fathers would stand, if you would, please. We'd like to thank you for your godly influence in our lives. Also thankful for really all the men and young men in our church, and the elementary kids and the preschool kids. We're just thankful for what God has placed here in our families. And we covet your prayers as we raise our kids. We need God's guidance, right? And we need that godly influence from believers and from families within our church as we raise our kids. I would say that there's some gifts for the men. We actually got some Grace Baptist Church caps for you. So you can grab one of those on your way out this morning. And there's also, it's kind of a tradition that we started probably about 20, well, I've been here almost 24 years, so about 23 years ago, we started a RC Cola and Moon Pie tradition, so you'll find those out in the foyer too. If you're 18 years old and up, please feel free to grab one of those this morning. Whether you're a member of Grace or not, we would love for you to share that with us this morning. So with that, I'll say thank you to our church family. I love you, and I appreciate the influence that you've had in our life. Would you stand with me as we continue our service this morning, worshiping in song, and I'll ask the kids be dismissed during this time, and also our choir and orchestra can find their way down. Good Father.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never I am.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Yo, comedian Michael Jr. here. As you know, I just flat out enjoy doing comedy. But one of the things I love way more than that is being a dad. Not too long ago, I'm going through some video footage, and I run into this video of my youngest daughter being born. Now, of course, I was there. I actually took the video, but I had never really experienced it from this perspective before. Now, look, we're in the hospital room. She's sticky, and she's baby and all that stuff, and she's in the middle of crying. And then I speak up. I start talking to her, and watch how she responds when she hears my voice.
Okay, Portland, look, I'm right here. It's okay, it's okay. I'm right here, I'm right here. We're doing just fine. It's okay. It's okay. I'm right here. Right here. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay, baby. It's okay.
That was pretty awesome. So check it. A few minutes later, the nurse starts working on her, puts her pamper on her, and I'm not saying anything, and she actually starts to cry again. Then I speak up, she hears my voice, and stops crying, like again. But I want you to notice what else happens after I tell her that I love her.
Portland, it's okay. It's okay, it's good, it's good, it's good. I'm right here, I'm right here. I am right here. I love you, I love you, I love you. Yeah, I'm right here, I'm right here. It's okay, it's okay.
That's just phenomenal. Like, whoa. Here's the thing. We'll always have times where we're not as comfortable, probably even to the point of tears, where life is just heavy. The key thing to do in those moments is to be still and listen for the Father's voice, because He is trying to talk to you. And I can tell you what He wants you to know is that He loves you. All you got to do is open your eyes. Happy Father's Day.
That is wonderful, isn't it? Well, happy Father's Day. Whether you're a father or not, I hope it's a happy day for you. And as I think about kind of in that video, it is amazing to me how just my simple presence and my voice can have such a calming effect on Sean and even already on Marie, right? I mean, these are children, as our congregation here knows, that they didn't get to hear my voice when they were in the womb, right? I mean, these are not children that we've given birth to. And so just my voice can have that calming effect that they can be screaming and we just say a word and they'll settle down. Certainly not always. Sometimes I think my voice just makes things worse. But it is just an amazing thing. That anybody would actually appreciate my voice that much is an amazing thing. Sadly, though, there is this epidemic across the United States, and I'd say probably around the world as well, of fatherlessness, where dads are not in the home, or maybe when they are in the home, they aren't really in the home. And there is a devastating impact on families and really just throughout all areas of life. We see that impact, of course, in individuals. It makes a difference to a person if their father isn't involved in their life. You see it in the schools, and it happens just with grades and all these different kind of things and the way that kids act in schools. Listen, I try to get into the jail every other week, not by force, they let me back out, but I try to get in there, and as I'm seeing guys in there, so many of these guys never had fathers involved in their lives. A lot of them are fathers who are not able to see their children, who may not even want to. You see that impact at work. You see that impact in neighborhoods and the people around you. It impacts the way that the media comes at us and what people enjoy and what people are talking about. And the government has to deal with these kinds of issues because of the impact that is so sweeping in families and it impacts our church, right? These are people that we are to care for and to love. And so there is an impact here. We think, too, just about the absence of fathers, the absence of men. So many churches would absolutely fail if it wasn't for the women who were in the churches, because so many men have kind of stepped away from some of those responsibilities. There are impacts on education and on the poverty level. There's an impact in the behavior of children, and we see that all of the time, right? You can tell a distinct difference a lot of the time. There are physical health and emotional health issues that come with fatherlessness and so many others. In all of these areas of life, every one of them completely crucial for children of all ages. And then for us as dads, right, there is just kind of this internal struggle for us to try to be a good dad and even figure out what that means all of the time, right? That can be such a hard thing to do. Just being around, physically present with a child, doesn't actually make you a great dad. It doesn't mean that you're a dad. It is entirely possible to be around children and yet not loving them and not caring them and not leading your family as God has intended. Now, for myself, honestly, I think I'm doing a pretty good job as a dad. I realize some of you are sitting out there and saying, just wait, right? I'm 2.5 years into this thing. I think I'm doing fairly well with this. But still, I'm always seeing these ways that I can improve, ways I can care more for my kids and love them better. And I'm questioning myself all the time, especially when I've spent all week preparing a sermon for Father's Day about being a good dad, right? I get to go home, like I've been working on this all day. I'm like, I can't wait to get home and see my kids and tell them how I've messed this up, or just hug on them and love on them and all these kinds of things. We all have ways that we need to grow in being a dad. Some of you in here, you've had some pretty bad dads. You know that they've left you with some very deep wounds in your life, and I am sorry for that. Some of you have been wounded because you never even knew your father. And some of you, and I'm very thankful for this, some of you had great dads. And those wonderful dads, they just kept getting better and better. That's wonderful. Praise God for that. Right? They keep seeing ways that they can grow, and they keep doing it. And that's part of what makes them such a good dad. Some of you, and this is always an interesting experience that can be so beautiful in so many ways, that you, for a while, you had a bad dad. But at some point, Christ got a hold of his life, and the Holy Spirit started to change him. And then you had a good dad. And it was the same guy, but something changed, and that is a beautiful thing. And that's really the great hope for all of us, and any of the sin that we deal with, is the Holy Spirit does actually change people if we will yield to him and allow him to do it. The Holy Spirit also heals your wounds. Those wounds that have been left by dads and by others, the Holy Spirit heals those too. And here's the really great news. We've got God. He is the perfect Father. He's not going to wound you in bad ways. He's going to love you. And even if you never had a great example here on earth of what a father is supposed to be, God the Father is that perfect example. And we have it written in his word what a great father he is and what that's supposed to be and how much he loves us. Wherever you are, dads, wherever you're at as a dad, God wants to grow you. He wants you to be a better dad than you are right now. And that's a part of what today's message is about. It's also about we as a church stepping in where dads might be struggling. And that means both stepping in for that dad who's having a tough time being a good dad, stepping in and trying to help him out and being just kind of an instrument of the Holy Spirit to help guide him along and grow him. It also means that we step in for those families and for those children that are struggling because their dad is not in the picture or isn't doing what he's supposed to as a father. We want to help those families. And so today we're kind of continuing the message that we had on Mother's Day. If you recall, it was, as you can see behind me, it was on raising the perfect kid, right? And so there is one mother out there who actually raised the perfect child. It was Mary. She raised this child named Jesus, right? And so there was this great experience of looking at just how Mary walked through that whole time. Now, dads, you understand where this goes for us, right? I understand I'm in this with you, but there's only one dad out there that has raised the perfect kid, and it's a pretty high standard for us. And we can look at this as kind of a positive and a negative, okay? Moms, they had the advantage in the Mother's Day sermon about you being able to learn from Mary's failures and seeing how, okay, she's not perfect. And so there was some encouragement for them that, hey, there are no perfect moms out there. And yet for us, there is a perfect dad out there, right? And so we've got this much higher standard because Jesus' dad is perfect. If you're not clear on this, I am talking about God the Father. I'm not talking about Joseph, right? So, but the positive side of this is that we've got a perfect example. Like, we know exactly what to do. There's no question of, hey, did he get it right or not? Yes, he got it right. We just need to go and to be a dad like that. But for all of us, my prayer today is that we are going to see our perfect Father. That perfect Father that we have in heaven who loves us no matter what our earthly experience might have been. The whole Bible it is just chock full of examples of God as the perfect Father, the perfect Dad. But today we're going to focus on one moment with his Son, Jesus Christ, at his baptism. Let's pray as we move into that time. Father, as we look at this baptism, your message to the Son, Jesus Christ, who you are one and the same with, God, I pray that that is inspiring, that it is encouraging, that it is challenging for us as fathers. God, I pray for those in here who have wonderful dads. God, I pray that they would realize what a great gift you've given them, and they would thank you and thank their dads and love on those dads, especially today. God, I pray for those people in here who have deep wounds from their fathers. I do pray that they'll be able to forgive. God, I pray that you will heal their wounds. God, I pray that you will show them that you are a perfect Father, despite what they've seen here, and you can bring them some healing through that and draw them to yourself. I pray for us as a church, as we look at ways that we can come alongside these families used by you, being your hands and feet as you have designed your church to be. We thank you for your grace in that. But God, I pray that you will show us how we can come alongside families, alongside dads where they struggle. That we can show this world what a family is meant to be. What the church is meant to be, how your people work, and that people can be loved. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Dads, the first thing we learn from God the Father here is that dads must be present. We're going to be in Matthew 3, 16 and 17. Normally, we do the New American Standard. We're going NIV today, mainly because the word order makes a lot better outline. And so, but it all says the same thing in here, a good translation with this. So, verse 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. God the Father was present with the Son, Jesus Christ. And yes, I get, okay, we talk about these things, and I am talking right now about the presence of an omnipresent being, right? I mean, it's kind of like we say, duh, God is always there, right? He is perfect, and he's omnipresent, and so, okay, it's a little bit easier for him to be with his Son, to be present with his Son, except he also sends this physical presence of the Holy Spirit to be there as well. But it doesn't change the principle. It doesn't change the example that we have from God here for a father, that dads must be present. Now, I realize that unlike God the Father, we cannot be there physically every second of the day, right? I mean, I realize that can't happen. But we need to make as much time as we possibly can for our kids. Yes, we need rest. We need time to recuperate, but we've got to be there for our kids. We look at some of the statistics about fatherhood. What we're going to see here is that, and as you see on this slide, this is from the 2014 census, 23.6% of children in 2014, that is 17.4 million children, lived in a father-absent home. That means that they were going to bed at night without a father in their home, physically present. Now, that statistic, sometimes we think, okay, it's a stat, and we don't think about what this means. These are children. These are children like your children. These are children like my children. These are children like you and like me when we were little that long for their daddy's love and affection. When I was heading into the church building today, I come in a little bit earlier than the rest of the family, and so Sean was already up, and he starts crying. I mean, I held him, and I kissed him, and said, bye-bye, we'll see you in just a little bit. Like, they come like an hour later than me and usually swing by the office, right? And so I said, we're going to see you in just a little bit. It's okay. And so I start heading out, and I back out of the garage. I'm getting ready to close the garage door. I unlock the garage door behind me so that Sean doesn't get out, right? And so I see that he has learned to unlock that door, and he's opened it, and he's coming out. And so so I stopped the car and I went, and he's just bawling, which I both love and hate at the same time because it breaks my heart, but it melts my heart. It's wonderful. And so I just go and I just pick him up and I take him inside and take him back to mommy and say, listen, we're going to see you soon. I love you. Give him another hug and a kiss, and he's able to just kind of rest for a little bit there knowing he's going to come back in. When he comes in later into the office, you know, if he comes to see me in the office or whatever, he'll come in and, Daddy! And he comes and he runs and wants to give me a hug. And a lot of times he even does that before he asks for candy, because there's always good candy in my office. And when I get home, oh, I love going home. And listen, I love going home before Sean, because Judith greets me really well too, right? But when I get home every day from work or, you know, whatever I've been doing, I come in the door, and as soon as Sean realizes my presence, like, there are sometimes I open the garage door, and he is standing there waiting because he heard the door, because he knows it's about that time. And so he's come out, and he's waiting for me right there. But when I get in, and he sees me, he goes, Daddy! And he runs up. And if I'm able to, if I have the time to set something down and actually kneel down, I get a big hug. If not, he is wrapped around my leg to where I can't move, and says, Daddy, Daddy! And if Judith isn't right there, he'll run through the house and say, Mommy, Daddy home, Daddy home. I mean, it's cool coming home, right? I love being a daddy. 17.4 million kids won't have that experience today. There's even more that might see their father but not engage with him. Being physically present but not engaging isn't a whole lot better than not being there at all. Sometimes we overwork. And I get, listen, there are times in life that you've got to work extra just to make ends meet, right? And I'm talking about those good ends, to be able to provide appropriately for your family. But there's also times that we just get so involved in work because it means so much to us, or we're just trying to make that next level of comfort or whatever it is, and we neglect our families because of that. There are times we get so consumed in our hobbies and our sports or whatever it is we enjoy doing that we've ignored our family. Maybe you get home and you just plop down in front of the TV, and that's just where you're going to spend your time, or you're playing games on your phone or texting or whatever it is that you do. Dads, we have got to be engaged, truly engaged with our children. And I know that's not always easy. There are all kinds of things that can get in the way of that, but it is always worth it. There are times, man, we get home from work, I'm like you too, that, I mean, what I really want sometimes when I get home after a stressful day or a long day, I just want to get home and relax and be able to just sit back for a little bit. And for a little bit, that's fine to do as well. I'm not saying you can't ever, you know, rest. Sometimes you need that. Sometimes you just had a long day of taking care of things around the house and you just want to step away or just try to get things done. But sometimes being a dad means that we've got to sacrifice a little bit of those things that we want, that there is some surrender of our own desires for the good of our family. And I know most of us in here, we're doing those things. You know, myself, I'm just now getting back to where I'm actually biking a little bit. You know, it's something I enjoyed a lot, but I've got this little trailer that I can put Sean in and we can go bike on smooth trails. I haven't touched my mountain bike in a while. I'm not complaining that much about it. I have not done a full rebuild on a car in a good while. I do a little bit of work here and there. You know, I don't see that much TV, and I will tell you, I got no regrets about any of it. I love spending time with my kids. They are so much fun. And the cool thing is that I think one day we'll get to do some of those things together. And how much more enriching is that going to be, being able to go out biking with Sean and one day even with Marie, or, you know, work on a car together, those kinds of things. You know, that's what I look forward to. But I love the time that I've got now. Now, I want to be really sure, too, that we're not just hearing this message as an exhortation and a challenge to dads, right? Because a lot of people in here, I would say probably most of us in here, are not fathers. That's not all this is about. This is for the whole family. This is Father's Day, and odds are your dad is never going to talk about some of the difficulties there are in being a father. You know, we just think about the positive and we take care of the rest. I want you to appreciate your dads today. I mean, that really is what Father's Day is for. You know, praising God that he gave you a dad and thanking your dad for being what he is. I recognize, too, that some in here, you don't have dads in your home, or maybe you never did. And that is tragic. But you don't have to be one of the statistics that we're going to see today. You are more than that. the Holy Spirit very clearly in His Word, He addresses caring for those without their spouse and without their father directly there with them. He gives us direct and firm commands as a church to love for these people and care for these people. That's what we're supposed to do. God desires to fill the gap where a father may be missing out a little bit. For that physical part of it, and of course some of the emotional and things that go with it, He has given a lot of that task to the church. It's not something we do on our own, but it's this wonderful task that the Lord has given us to care for people. So if you need a daddy in your life, you can look around this room. There are daddies in here for you who will help care for you and love on you. It'd be great if you would ask and just say, hey, I could use that. But I know that most people wouldn't even think to ask about something like that. It's very personal. It's very difficult. And so men of the church, as all of us, right, we have got to be vigilant. We've got to have our eyes open, looking for those kids who might be in need of a dad, where they're missing out and they need that presence in their life. And you'll probably need to take the initiative in that, men. And you may never know the eternal impact that you're going to have in these families. I debate sometimes on whether I mention names, and when it's positive, I usually go ahead with it. But I'm going to say, Ed Scott, that guy's a great guy for stepping in as a dad, right? He's got a couple of these guys this past year that he has really taken under his wing and helped provide for some of their needs, getting into Awana and these kind of things. And I'm telling you, if you talk to those Awana leaders who are also investing in these kids, we've seen the difference. A lot of it because of those leaders and a lot of it because of what he's done with those boys. That is what the church is supposed to do. And it is absolutely beautiful. I remember when I was growing up, it was kind of late elementary school. My parents had divorced when I was in third grade, just about rolling into the fourth grade. And so there was this man down the road from us, just a few doors down. He was actually Mr. Man. And he invited me out on a canoeing trip. And we went canoeing on the Little Miami River up in the Cincinnati area. I loved it. I had a good time. I appreciated that he was doing that. I had no idea why he was doing it. I just thought, hey, he wants somebody to go canoeing with, and his son probably didn't have the time. So we went together. But what he was doing, he was very intentionally seeing this little boy down the street who he didn't think had a daddy in the home. Turns out my dad was actually very present in my life that whole time. He just didn't know it. This guy didn't. But that was such a wonderful thing for him to do, to try to step in and be there for me. And I would say, dads, try not to be offended if another good man speaks into your child's life. You need to be number one, right? That needs to be there. But sometimes kids, and especially teens, they kind of need another voice. And so be thankful that positive voice is there. Sometimes dads hear you can't be physically present in the home with the kids all the time. And that doesn't mean that you're an absent father. But don't make someone else take your role. Don't let that be necessary. I can tell you, my dad, again, my parents split when I was fairly young, and I can tell you my dad was always present in my life. My dad coached my football team, one of the coaches on my football team. He taught me how to cheat without getting caught. It's a thing. It's a skill, I guess. It's my dad. He was there, right? He was there for holidays, and we would travel with him. He took me, I mean, we took road trips together. We went to sporting events together. He was there anytime I needed him. I remember a particular night. It was a stormy night, and actually probably not related to the storm. It just so happened the ceiling in my mother's room collapsed. And so I thought, okay, the tornado's coming. We're all going to die. And so I'm calling my dad, and he drives, you know, across over to where we're at just to pick me up and take me to his house so I can be calm for the night. My dad was always there. If we had to move for some reason, he was moving to be close to us. My dad was there even though he wasn't in our home all of the time. Amongst other things, the Holy Spirit, as he descends there and he's kind of resting on Jesus, that shows that the Father is present with the Son, that he will not abandon him. If it was important for God the Father to display that to the world, how important must it be for dads to be with their kids? Dads, are you present in your children's lives? And I know that can be difficult. There's all kind of things that pull at us, but that is not an excuse ever to disengage. Dad, your kids, they need you. And so I'd ask you to resolve today to be present for your children. Ask the Holy Spirit for the power to be even more than present. Because dads must be present to acknowledge their kids. We continue on to verse 17, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son." So God the Father's voice is kind of thundering down from heaven to declare to the world that this is my Son. He said, "I'm making this very clear. He is mine." God the Father, he is making their relationship clear. Jesus knows he is the Son. The Father knows what the relationship is. And everybody who's hearing that, and now everybody who's been reading this for thousands of years, we know that's the truth. We know what that relationship is. He says it there. He's proud of it. There are children, there are adults all around the world longing to hear those life-breathing words from their Father. If you've heard those words, if you've heard something like those words from your dad, would you thank him for it today? Just tell him how much that's meant to you and praise God for it, because that is a blessing. I've heard those things from my dad. When kids aren't acknowledged by their dad, they tend to seek that acknowledgement somewhere else. It's often in very bad ways. We see here children raised in father-absent homes are more likely to experience behavioral problems, and you can go and find the actual statistics on those things. That's what you're going to find in counseling. There are behavioral problems as kids start acting out. Okay, so my superhero movie fans, I know I got Aaron over here. You may not have to shout this out because it may not actually work out for me, but we'll see if you can get it, right? Or any of you guys into comics and those kind of things. What is the go-to source of angst for a supervillain that makes them or kind of sets them on the path of a supervillain? What do you think, Aaron? Oh, that's the worst of them, too. Lex Luthor had a bad dad. You hear that? If you're a bad dad, your kid's going to turn into Lex Luthor and try to kill Superman. That's intense, right? But the world knows. I mean, we just kind of innately know. Thank you for going along with me on that, too. That was really good. We didn't even plan that out, right? But that really is what we see all of the time, that, man, the lack of a dad makes such a difference. And honestly, a reluctant presence can be as or even more damaging than absence. Now, listen to this, okay? Just to be clear on this. This is not an excuse for you to leave. This is not saying, okay, I'm not a good dad, so I'm just going to step out of the picture altogether. No, this is a call to get it right, to do the right thing. One of the benefits that I've got because we've adopted Sean is that I have a video proving that I chose to be Sean's dad. I chose him to be my son after knowing him for 2.5 years. I was going to show the video of that today, but the sound quality wasn't very good on it, and I didn't think I would make it through the rest of the message if I did. So, but I can remember laying, about 2 years ago now, laying face down on the floor in our bedroom. I mean, just sobbing uncontrollably and begging the Lord to not take this child away from us. It seemed that's what the state wanted to do. Because no matter what the state or some caseworker might say or any of those kind of things, that was my son. And I realize what we've gotten into with foster care, but that was so hard. There's a song I sing to Sean most nights when I'm putting him to sleep. It's by this group Slugs and Bugs, which is a very funny group. They've got a song called Underwear, which is just trying to get this guy to say underwear over and over and over again. And that's not the song I sing to him every night. It would be kind of funny, right? But it goes, "Sweet baby boy." Yeah, you get to listen to me singing. "I love you, sweet baby boy. I've told you this 1,000 times. I'm so glad you are mine. Sweet baby boy." You can sing with me if you want to. "You're precious, sweet baby boy. So let's just sing this song again. Just like my love never ends." And then you start singing it again because it just goes on and on and on forever. And eventually I find a way to end it, right? Dads, you have got to make sure that your kids don't just see you, but they know that you want them, that you are so glad that they are your children, that you know that they are a gift, a precious gift from your good Father. And everybody, if your dad has made that clear to you, like mine has, would you thank him for that today? I mean, if he's passed on, would you just pray and thank God for him? And if he's not, if he hasn't made that clear to you, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to forgive and maybe even give him a second chance. But also know that God speaks those words over you in Jesus Christ. No matter what your experience has been with your earthly father, he speaks that over you if you are in Christ. He wants you bad enough to send Jesus Christ to die for you, to redeem you to himself. Let me tell you this, your church wants you too. We want you because God does, because we love you. God has called us to help you belong. God has called us to help you feel wanted. If for any reason you don't feel that way here, I'm sorry. Let me know and we'll do what we can to try to work on that. But everyone, can we make sure that we try to make everybody feel wanted here? Can we do that? Looking for the verbal response this time. Yeah, there we go. This is good. Dads, what we're talking about here, this takes action. You know, this takes words as well. We can't assume that they know. So why would your children believe that you want them? Here's a hint. Dads must be present to acknowledge their kids with love. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my son, whom I love." Now love, I hope we know, that is more than sentiment. It is more than feelings. It is more than just words. It is action. It's been said that kids spell love, T-I-M-E. Pastor Kelly likes to talk about how kids understand love by how much you enjoy them. But there's still more to it than that. For one, we look at 1 Corinthians 13, and we see this perfect description of love, which comes with patience and kindness and forgiveness and all of these wonderful things, and it's selfless. Love is kind of what sums up the message that we're talking about today. One of the most affirming things I've ever heard as a father really comes from Judith's parents. They talked about how amazing it is just how much we enjoy Sean. They haven't actually seen us. They haven't been here to meet Marie yet. And so, but just to know that the people can see how much we love him and enjoy him. And I know that Sean knows it too. Love really encompasses everything about being a dad and about being a parent. And we reiterate love even in the way that we discipline Sean. I hate doing it. But I do it, and I tell him, as you know, he's going into timeout, getting some kind of reminder to obey, Sean, we love you. It doesn't matter what you've done, we love you. We want you here. We just want you to go the right direction. If you remember that our biblical definition of love is that love seeks the best for its object. And it does that even when it is hard. When it's hard for me to do something loving, when it's hard for me even in discipline, when it's hard for the object of that love, we still love. People need love. The Beatles think that's all we need, right? We need more than that. So if we don't get love from our fathers, we tend to go and find it somewhere else. Daughters are less likely to engage in risky sexual behavior when they have consistent contact and a sense of closeness with their dads. That's a positive stat, right? That's the kind of impact that dads have. Now, for those of you who have felt unloved, those of you who have even been abused, understand that God desires something better for you. He loves you sacrificially. He is the perfect example of love. When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, I think the Lord's Prayer there really shows us some of the ways that God loves us. Our Father in heaven. So we know he's there. He's omnipresent. He is our Father. And not only that, he hears us and he listens to us. God, your kingdom come and your will be done. He wants the best for his kids. There's nothing better than the Lord's will, and that's what he wants for us. Give us today our daily bread. He provides for us. He makes sure that our needs are met. Forgive us our debts. He is forgiving of us, sacrificially so. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He protects us, desires to protect his kids from evil and from harm and from temptation to lead us on that right path. That's some good love. Sometimes we might think as dads that if we are providing food and clothing for our kids, that you know they've got shelter, that, hey, we're good, we've got this thing taken care of, and absolutely not. There are so many more needs. They need love. And if you're having a hard time with that as a dad, we want to help you with that. God offers you grace. He offers you the Holy Spirit's power. He offers you the church to come alongside you to help you grow. Would you trust God to help you grow as a dad? Listen, for you, if your dad struggles with that today, to love you, if he struggles with that for any reason, listen, there are legitimate reasons that a father may not be able to provide everything he's supposed to for his kids, and that's okay. But God, know that God still cares for you, and he has commanded his church to step in, and it's our privilege and honor to do that and help out any way that we can. There are people here at the church to love you. We see it all the time in the way that we've got adult leaders here who are loving on kids in Awana and youth leaders who are investing in these teens. And we've got the same kind of thing for adults. Like there are deacons caring for people and stepping in, and there are Sunday school teachers and others who are stepping in to care for people. Well, I want you to be able to expect love here. You should expect to receive love here. But even more than the church coming alongside you, God loves you even when people fail to show that love. God's love is unfailing. Even if you're not experiencing it from people, know that God loves you. Love, it is this tangible thing. It can be experienced. So if you experience love from your dad, would you thank him and just love on him some today? Thank the Lord for him. Dads, how do your children actually experience your love? One more way to experience that love is that dads must be present to acknowledge their kids with love and affirmation. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Now, those are some good words. Now remember, this is Matthew 3, right? This is right at the beginning of Jesus' time of ministry. He hasn't started all of this other stuff yet. He hasn't healed the sick. He hasn't exorcised demons. He hasn't preached a bunch of sermons. He hasn't called and led all of his disciples. He hasn't raised anyone from the dead. He hasn't raised from the dead himself. He hasn't even died yet. And yet, God the Father affirms him. It's not about what he's done. I don't think it's about what he's going to do, even though God the Father knew it. It's about who he is. This is his son. Sean is 2.5 years old. Are you tired of hearing about Sean yet? If you are, I don't care. I want to keep going anyway, right? So many times a day I hear, "Look, Daddy!" I don't really get tired of it. Usually, when he says that, it is not something super impressive in general, right? Although I will say he is a pretty impressive kid for his age. It's usually something he's made, something he's colored, just something he's found interesting or unique, and most of the time I can't even tell what it is. I'm like, "Cool, you made a thing. That's wonderful." And so I tell him, "Kid, I'm sorry, I don't know what that is. You've got to try harder at that, and then I'll appreciate it," right? I'm glad some of you are laughing. No, that is absolutely not what I say. Of course not, no. I encourage him, right? I tell him how great I think he is, and how great I think that thing that he's working on or thing he finds interesting is. And I'm actually being honest when I say it. I think it's wonderful. Whatever it is, I love it. He impresses me. He is a great kid, and he's doing great things. And I am so excited that he wants to include me in things that he enjoys. And even if he wasn't so impressive, I'm still proud of him because he is my son. And listen, there are times that we train. There are times that, you know, that we want to help build them up and help grow them. But we always want to affirm our kids. I can remember so many times growing up where my dad affirmed me. He was one of the first people I talked to when I felt the call into ministry, the vocational ministry. My dad was there. I can remember being at retreats with my dad where, man, he just put his arm around me and just love on me and tell me how proud he was of me for, you know, some subject that was being talked about that day or something like that. I remember when the Lord really called me out of a rebellious time in my life. My dad was the first person I talked to about it and how he just showed me forgiveness and said, "I'm so proud of you and I love you for stepping away from this even." I know those times that ministry has been difficult, and I've been able to talk to my dad about those things, and he's always affirming and loving through all of it and encouraging. It's been wonderful. But when kids don't get that kind of affirmation from their father, they're going to keep trying to find it somewhere. They're going to look for this. Now, we find that father involvement in schools, same study, that it is associated with the higher likelihood of a student getting mostly A's, just because the dad's involved. Works on the negative side, too, though. Adolescent boys with absent fathers are more likely to engage in delinquency than those with fathers who are present. Dads, you have an amazing impact on your children. Some of you have grown up in homes and even churches that, man, they're just never satisfied. And they're never affirming of you in any way. As Christians, we always want to strive and we want to lead people to be more like Christ. We're also supposed to encourage one another. That's a part of this. And so in the midst of the growth process, in the midst of sanctification, even as we're messy and making mistakes and still sinning in ways, listen, even if people don't express it, God's face shines upon you in Christ. I want you to know, because God wants you to know, you are not unlovable. Y'all hear that? You are not unlovable. You are not worthless. You are precious. You are precious to the Lord. Even if your earthly dad can't say it or won't say it for some reason, God tells you that you are His beloved child in whom He is well pleased. Some of you here today, you need to step in and you need to share that same message with somebody close to you. You need to share that message with a child or someone who doesn't have a dad around to share that message. If your dad is one who's affirmed you, would you affirm him today and just tell him how much that meant to you and thank the Lord for him? Dads, do your children feel affirmed by you? Got some more stats we'll leave up behind us here, but my challenge to you for the week is if you are in Christ, I want you, meaning if you have trusted in Christ for salvation, I want you to look in the mirror every day this week, every morning, and I want you to tell yourself that you are God's beloved child in whom He is well pleased. And I want you every day this week to tell that to somebody else who is in Christ. In fact, let's go ahead and start now. Look at somebody around you and tell them that they are God's beloved child in whom He is well pleased. And if you didn't catch it, say that back to somebody else. If you can, if there's somebody that you know needs to hear that, speak that to somebody that you know needs it. Especially start with your kids, but maybe there's someone else that just needs to hear that in your life too. Listen, if you have got wounds from a dad who failed you, a dad who wasn't there, just know that God won't fail you, that He's always going to be there. He's everything that you could want in a father, and He offers to heal your wounds. Maybe you're longing, as a dad, you're longing to be a better dad. Listen, there are no perfect human dads out there, so stop beating yourself up. God offers you grace. Trust God for His grace. Grace to be a dad, the dad your family needs, that God has designed you to be. And we as a church, we would love to come alongside you in that. Just trust the Holy Spirit and ask Him to change you and make you that kind of dad. Maybe the Holy Spirit is calling you to step in the gap for a fatherless child of any age. They don't have to actually be children anymore, right? There are people who've lost dads for various reasons who still need that love. We'd love to help you connect and just to find someone. We'd love to help give you the resources for that relationship. You don't have to be perfect to do it. You don't have to be a professional to come alongside somebody. Just being there can make such a huge difference. So let's together, let's be a church that shows the world around us what a dad is supposed to be by God's grace. And we as a church, we're here to help anyone with that. And maybe you're ready to say, you know what, that's the dad, that's the Heavenly Father I need. I want to trust that Father for my salvation, for my forgiveness, to make me new. That's what your Father in Heaven wants to do. And if you're wanting to consider that or talk about that, we'd love to talk with you about that. I'm going to be sitting right here with Judith, and when you can come and talk to us, we'll have some pastors in the foyer if you want to go and chat with them about any of these things. But we want to draw closer to our Heavenly Father. I want to pray, and it's your time to respond. Father, we do thank You for Your Holy Spirit that guides us as fathers. I thank You for my dad. I thank You for the so many wonderful fathers in this room right now. And God, I pray that we will come alongside those who need dads to show people, to give an example as best we can, empowered by Your Holy Spirit, of the wonderful Father that You are. But despite all the human failures, Lord, may we know Your good and gracious love. And so, God, we thank You as well for dads today. Just pray that they are honored, that they are affirmed, that they are loved, and doing the same for their children. Empower us to do that in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
I give You my life, I give You my trust, Jesus. You are my God, You are enough, Jesus. My heart is yours.
praise God, our perfect Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen. All right, folks. Well, today is Father's Day, so go and appreciate your father and love on him and just thank God for him. And if you don't have one of those around, thank your perfect Heavenly Father. Know that he is there. And so with that, loving your dads, grace, it is time to go.